Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, episode 155. As NHL hockey is back and going, and it was a hell of a good week of hockey. I don't know what you thought, Blake.
Yeah, no, it was nice to see Canadian teams finally playing American teams again. A sense of some normalcy. But yeah, no, I was just super excited to watch hockey again, watch the Canucks again.
I just thought it was good hockey too, though. I mean, it was good hockey.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fast games. I mean, the league is ultra fast right now. If you're not fast, you're kind of falling behind. But yeah, highly competitive games. A lot of fun matchups. I just watched the Rangers Leafs game today. The Rangers won 2-1 in overtime. Panarin got the winner. End to end overtime. The Rangers kind of stole one away. Shesterkin stopped 40-41, and they were able to steal 2 points from Toronto. So yeah, no, it's been a good start to the NHL season so far.
You know, one thing that's got me a little bit fired up and pissed off, and that's it seems like sometimes in mainstream media in the States, hockey has a hard time getting a foothold, and rightfully so, because 80% of our country doesn't have accessible ice. But that being said, like, it pisses me off that when I'm on social media or on any form of social media, all I saw this week is a stupid fight in the stands in Nashville. And it's like, come on. Like, why? First off, hockey's better than this. Number two, like,
well, it's like that when there's fights in the NFL
too. I know, but we don't need that in hockey. We don't need it in hockey. I think I don't know, stuff like that irritates the shit out of me when people act that way. It's like, irritates me. Another thing,
Kraken fans are getting rowdy.
I think they're both being stupid. You have to be stupid to get to that point. Another thing I was listening to the Fan 960 in Calgary this morning, and they stirred up memories of when I was in college, and it made me laugh my ass off. And I thought, you know what, I got to ask Blake about this tonight on the show, because I guarantee at some point in your life you had a pair. What is it with University of Saskatchewan Huskies sweatpants? And does every fucking person in Saskatchewan get issued a pair of those?
I have a pair right beside me.
With the paw prints or the Huskies on the ass? Or
Huskies on the ass?
Like, what in the hell?
I got a black pair. I got a black pair right beside
me. Most people have green ones. But why? What?
When I was in college, they're just comfy. They're just comfy sweats.
But why everybody have the University of Saskatchewan? You never went there.
No, I forget where I got those from.
It might have been
a hand-me-down from one of my family members, but yeah, I remember about like 5-6 years ago I got a pair of those, and they're my favorite sweats to wear. Just lounge around the house.
They were talking about it on the show today, and how, and then Rhett Warner was talking about it, and I get a kick out of that guy. And you know, here's this part two to this. Do you think sweatpants are appropriate to wear out of your house?
No.
See, I don't either. Rhett Warner doesn't say, like, they're not appropriate.
I wore sweats when I was in college to my morning class, and that's about it. But that's like, I'm not gonna go to the rink tomorrow in sweatpants.
I mean, I won't even go to Walmart in sweatpants, and half the people there look like.
Like I'll wear joggers, dress pants, or jeans. Like, that's what I usually wear.
That's my limit. Like, yeah, I'm not wearing sweats.
Like, joggers are even borderline.
I know. I rarely wear them.
Like, I got dressy joggers. So
yeah, like, but I'm still. I don't wear them all the time. I'm mostly.
Like, I'll wear jeans or dress pants. Like,
me too. When I go out in public. Yeah. It's crazy though, because They were talking about how so many people in this world are so freaking lazy that they've made sweat.
Oh, they throw on, especially in the States, I noticed that.
And
a lot of people just wear sweats.
It's even gotten to where they're wearing pajama pants. Now that is gross.
That's embarrassing.
That is gross.
That means they just rolled out of bed, didn't shower.
Greasy just ass just went on about their day.
Brutal.
Is that not horrible?
That's disgusting.
That is what our world is coming to. Part two of this. Part three of this. Do you call a hooded sweatshirt a bunny hug?
A hoodie.
Okay. A lot of people in Saskatchewan.
Bunny hug, hoodie, sweater.
You don't call them bunny huggers, though, do you? Or bunny hug or whatever. I remember laughing usually about this in college.
Usually just a hoodie.
Yeah, that's what I call it, too. Yeah.
Hoodie or sweater. One of the two.
A lot of people in Saskatchewan call them bunny hugs.
Yeah, I mean, I've used the term a few times, but I usually just say hoodie.
Yeah. Spent all day Saturday after work pretty much glued to the TV watching various hockey games. And, you know, it got me thinking, like, is there anything better than a Saturday night? Now, obviously, it's weather's beautiful here, so I'm not dealing with this. But I was kind of thinking about what we got lying ahead in the next couple months. And is there anything better than, like, a Saturday night when it's snowing outside? And you're sitting there watching a hockey game, and then you wake up Sunday, and it's still snowing, and you just spend the day watching football. I love that.
Yeah, it kind of I don't really get to watch many Saturday hockeys this year.
Because you're working.
We play every weekend, so yeah. That kind of is a bummer. But of course, I live on the West Coast, so I might catch like the second half of the late game maybe, but I was just talking about this today with one of my buddies that's with the team, and I was like, I love living on the West Coast. The early game starts at 4:00, the late game starts at 7:00.
I hate that.
You know what I mean? Like it's perfect.
No, I like being a night owl.
For me, yeah, for me though, it's good because I like my sleep. I don't like when the Canucks game ends at midnight. Like I never liked that.
See,
back home, the game starts at 9:30.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck. And then it gets over at midnight. Then you don't get to bed till 1:00. It's like here, game's over by 10:00.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Well, I hate it. Like I go to Vegas quite frequently and it just sucks. So it's
well,
like,
yeah, for you, it's like with 4:00. Kids and stuff,
I know, but it's like 4:00 and my buddy's like, oh, are we going to go watch the game? And it's like, we're in Vegas. It's 4:00. Like, we're already starting games? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
East Coast games are already starting.
No, I get what you're saying. But like,
I love Central time zone because, like, a lot of the good West Coast matchups are firing off about 8:30 for me. Sometimes 9:00.
Yeah, like, I guess with you with kids, it's like.
It's awesome. My kids
you settle them down, and then you get to watch the game.
I get to watch the game.
Yeah.
So.
That's true.
I don't know.
It's a good point.
We got a busy, busy show. When I was sitting down to plan for this show yesterday, and I'm like, oh, geez, what are we going to talk about? And I started writing notes, and all of a sudden I'm like, holy shit, we better slow down here. We got a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. So big show today. On the show, we're going to talk about Brady Tkachuk signing in Ottawa. Teams in the window. What teams are in that cap window where they've got to make hay here in the next couple of years, or they're going to be SOL? Then we'll go around the league, talk about some suspensions, USTV, Toronto's goalie problems, injuries, and gosh, a college hockey embarrassment you will not believe. All right, Blake. He finally signed. Yep. Brady Tkachuk is signed, sealed, and delivered in Ottawa. 7 years, $57.5 million. Your thoughts, surprises, where are you at with this one?
For what this eventually got done for, I'm surprised why it took so long.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if Brady Tkachuk was gonna get 7 years all along in this type of money. Why couldn't this been done before camp?
His annual, his annual AAV is 8.214. He gets 4 this year, 6.5 next year, 10.5, 10.5, 10.5, 8.5, 7.
I'm thinking maybe it was stuck on the structures or signing bonuses.
Well, I don't think he wanted 7 years.
I don't know.
I think he, from what I heard.
He wanted like a 3-year deal?
He wanted like a 3-year deal so he could make hay on the backside. But I don't know that Brady Tkachuk ever gets paid more than this, does he? Like, I love Brady Tkachuk.
I like Brady Tkachuk. I think he's a great player. But I don't think, like, when we look back in, like, 2, 3, 4 years at this deal, I don't, like, production-wise, I don't think Brady Tkachuk's going to live up to this deal.
He's a half-a-point-a-game guy.
Like, I think Brady Tkachuk is
he brings a ton to the table.
He's going to be like a 60 to 65 point player.
Yeah, at tops, I think. Like, his style isn't geared for a ton of points. Like, he's going to be super important for this Ottawa team. Don't get me wrong. And I like Brady Tkachuk. He's big body, strong physical, will fight, will do everything you ever ask him for. He'll be a heart and soul of this team. But I don't know. It's a steep contract in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely paying Brady Tkachuk for the future of this deal. They're going to hope that they pay him and he turns into the player production-wise and lives up to this deal. But we'll see. I mean, he's got a couple years to improve and show that he's capable of being that type of player. I don't think he's as talented as his brother. I think his brother is...
You do. See, I was going to ask this question. You think Matthew's better than Brady? Because I would take Brady in a heartbeat.
I think Matthew Tkachuk's more skilled. I think that Brady brings more all-around game. But, I mean, when it comes to putting the puck in the net, I would take Matthew Tkachuk over Brady.
Hey, Blake, Matthew's not a big point getter.
I know, but...
And he's not as physical as Brady. He's not as fast as Brady.
He's more skilled.
Skilled at what? Spinning his body and checking with his ass?
He's just more skilled.
Oh, I would take Brady over Matthew.
I think he's faster. Honestly, I think he's faster.
He's not even close to as good of a skater as Brady. Matthew Tkachuk is not. He's not a good skater. He's not a good skater.
I don't know. Both pretty good players, though. I think I'd take Matthew, though.
I'd take Brady in a heartbeat. Looks like he'll be...
So would you trade Matthew Tkachuk for Brady Tkachuk?
Straight up, love every minute of it.
Can you imagine?
Straight up, I'd love every minute of it.
Brothers get traded for you.
Sounds like he's going to be in the lineup Thursday night. Question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll be awarded the C right away?
I'll tell you what, I honestly thought that he was going to come out with the C that night, but I mean, it makes sense to give him the captain. I think it's one of the worst kept secrets in Ottawa. We'll see. It'll be interesting.
Do you think this Ottawa team is heading in the right direction?
Oh yeah, this team is 100% heading in the right direction.
I like what I see with this team.
Pierre Dorion got a lot of criticism. I mean, for trading Duchesne and Kyle Turris.
You criticized him.
And the list goes on, and rightfully so. I mean, I didn't know what the direction was, where they were going. But then they stuck to the process. They got Josh Norris now. They got Brännström in that Stone deal. They add Shabbat and Batherson and Tkachuk, and the list goes on and on and on. Shane Pinto, add him to that list. Like, they're loaded with youth. I mean,
I love
signing Matt Murray to that huge deal.
That's
isn't really
bad.
But I mean, other than that, I mean, this team is. If you're an Ottawa fan, you've got a lot to be excited about.
They get a career-ending injury to Matt Murray. They're loving their life, and this team's going in the right direction.
Okay, well, let's not be wishing career-ending.
I'm not. I'm just saying that is their one mistake.
That's what it sounds like.
It was a freaking mistake. Like, the second the ink dried, everybody was like, everybody outside of Ottawa was like, whoa, that's a gross overpay.
Yeah.
Everybody was. I mean, the whole hockey world was like, eeh, that's bad. I love where this Ottawa team's going. I think they're really headed in the right direction, and it'll be fun to watch how they progress. Other contracts signed this week: Ryan Pulock, New York Islanders, gets 8-year, 49.2. That comes out to 6.15 per year. And Matthias Ekholm in Nashville gets 4 years, 2.5. Probably won't see any more signings. I can't think of anybody else.
4 years, 2.5. No.
2.5 per year. No.
Ekholm?
I'm sorry. 5 million per year.
Okay, I was going to say you're drunk.
I read my notes wrong.
That Pulock deal is great for
everything Nashville does is great.
No, I'm talking about Pulock.
Oh, okay.
Islanders. Hey, that's your Weedy boy, Wheat King.
Yeah.
He's a solid guy.
Everything the Islanders do financially is smart.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Pulock. Good. The right-handed defensemen's are hard to find, and whenever you get a chance to lock one up for 8 years, and especially a good one like that, it's good. And 6.1 too, it's cheap.
Let's shift gears and talk about teams in that window. And when you say that, I'm talking about you have so much cap, and it seems like all of a sudden cap is good and then it becomes a problem quickly. And that's kind of when you fall out of that window. I think there's a handful of teams that are in that window right now that could make hay with it. And I think there's a handful of teams in that window I call the dead window, which they're capped out, should be contending, but are not good hockey teams. Let's talk a little bit about who you think is in their window where it's time to make hay. The first team that comes to my mind is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
The Toronto Maple Leafs are one for sure. The first team that came to mind for me is the Avalanche.
Yep, I got them second on my list.
The Avalanche, they're going to have to pay MacKinnon here soon. They're going to have to pay Kemper after this season. So this is cup or bust for the Avalanche.
I don't know if it's cup or bust. They got a few more years before they have to sign MacKinnon. Then it's going to be two more years. They got this year and next year.
So let me just look at their cap space here. So they got to pay Burakovsky next year, Kadri, Ryan Murray, and Kemper. It's a lot of guys to sign. A lot of good players.
Every team, though, has that, Blake. Vancouver had that same thing last year. They did.
We'll see. I don't know.
I think it really hits the fan when MacKinnon's got to get signed.
Yeah, they're 2 years away for him.
Yep, and that's when I think their window closes.
2023.
So would you consider Florida as a team where they got to – because their cap's going to start to crunch now too.
Yeah, their cap's going to climb. Yeah, I guess you could put them in that.
I mean, I think they got a couple years, but they're in the window where they have to start making hay.
Could you say the Oilers?
I have Edmonton down. I have Vancouver down.
Yeah, because they're going to have to pay Pedersen in 3 years. Yeah.
They got a three-year window here.
Another team is Vegas.
I got Vegas down, and I have one other team.
Winnipeg.
No, I've got – I got them – I don't have Winnipeg. And you want to know why I don't? Look at their signings. There's nothing that's going to end that right now. Like, their guys are tied up for years.
Yeah,
they've done a good job. We talked about on the show a couple weeks ago how you said Vancouver, they just shuffled their, like, when they have to sign them. And that's what Winnipeg's got going for them right now. So I don't have them hitting a dead window here soon.
Oh, they got Wheeler for 3, Connor for 5, Shifley for 3. Ooh, those are going to be expensive.
Yeah, but you know one of them's not coming back. Look at their age.
My bet would be on Wheeler.
Yeah.
Coming back.
You see what I'm saying?
Ehlers for 4.
Spread out.
Stastny for 1. Dubois for 1.
It's all spread out,
though. Lowry for 5. Yeah, no, it's that. And they got Morrissey for 7 years.
It's all staggered, though.
Yeah.
It's all staggered.
I was talking to you about the Canucks.
I know. That's what I was just
saying. Staggered contracts.
That's what I just said. So Winnipeg's not in a dead, you know, they're not screwed. Another team I have is Minnesota. They got to make hay this year.
No shot.
No, I don't think they have a shot either. But
Minnesota's.
But they're in that window. No shot. They're in a cap window. They're screwed cap wise.
They're fucked. They're fucked.
Yeah. They don't even know how they're going to have a roster next year.
They have $14 million dead cap next year. That's two top line forwards.
Yeah. That's crazy. Now, I have some teams in the dead window.
I would say the Flyers.
No.
I don't know. Washington.
Washington's one. I got Pittsburgh.
San Jose.
Yep.
Pittsburgh.
Montreal.
Dallas.
Calgary.
Boston.
I don't have Boston in it. Look at their contracts, too. They're spread out. You don't need to worry in Boston.
They're getting old, though.
They're going to phase those guys out one by one.
We'll see. Calgary needs a whole core shakeup.
We said that for 2 years, but you can't shake up if nobody wants your turds.
And Trevor Lane's going to get fired.
You can't trade to somebody that doesn't want him. Like, you can offer Monahan all day if nobody wants him. Like,
somebody would take Monahan. Come on.
For what?
I don't know.
You know?
Somebody will take him.
And I also have the St. Louis Blues in there because I just feel like things are going to crash down in St. Louis in the next couple years.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
What's your thoughts on Toronto?
Well, you know how much I love Toronto, so talk about them, I guess. Toronto is just, they're just too top heavy. Peter Mrazek already went down with an injury, so like,
we'll talk about
that. They have no backup goalie. They can't even afford to call up somebody because they're so cap crunched. But I mean, Toronto's got so much firepower. They're going to outshoot you almost every game.
Are they? Do they have firepower though? Because they're not putting the puck in the net.
They're not scoring right now.
I know.
They played four games. They have 8 goals.
Yeah, but see, okay, on Saturday night, Calgary put up like freaking 50 shots on Edmonton, but. Like, there was very few times I was do you know what I mean?
It's definitely quality over quantity, but Toronto is going to score a ton. I wouldn't be worried about the offense right now. It's struggling a little bit, but their offense is too good to struggle. Matthews didn't play in 3 of those 4 games. He just played his first game today. He had 12 shots today.
Did he really? Dead.
Yeah, he had 12 shots. He was absolutely all over the ice. I was like, that may have been Matthew's best game he's ever played. Like, he didn't score any goals, but, oh boy, he was in the middle of everything. Shesterkin stood on his head for the Rangers. So, Toronto will be interesting. Like, if they don't get out of the first round again, I think it's going to be a
wholesale fire.
A massive hole. So, like, Dubas is gone. I think Keefe's gone. I think, like, there could be a significant trade, like Marner and Nylander get traded. This is it for Toronto. I mean, if they don't have playoff success, there's going to be a lot of changes in that organization.
Oof. I mean, a lot of interesting side notes on teams this year, it seems like. There's a lot of uncertainty, and I don't know if it's because of the cap being flat or what's causing it, but I feel like there's just a lot of like, man, I don't know what's going to happen with that, you know?
Yeah, Islanders are in last place. We look like idiots, so
cool. We'll talk about that later in the show. All right, time to go around the league. All right, Blake, we're a week into the season. And it to me seems like there was a boatload of suspensions, fines in this first week. I'm not sure why. It started with Landeskog getting 2 games for boarding Chicago's Kirby Dach. I thought that was extremely dangerous play.
Yeah, definitely very unnecessary. Dak is in a completely vulnerable spot. Landeskog saw him slide on his knees and still proceeded to drill him in the numbers. So, two games is fine. I thought that was fine. But yeah, definitely dangerous.
Dylan Larkin followed it up where he got hit from behind, got up and proceeded to clothesline/punch. Can't remember who it was, the player in the face.
Matthew Joseph.
Yeah, there you go. What was your? I don't. And he got a game for that. I thought that Matthew Joseph should have got a game too, or neither one of them. You can just run somebody from behind like that, and then the guy that you had to pay the piper for your run from behind, and that guy gets suspended. That's bullshit.
I would have said, yeah, I would have gave him each one game.
Yeah. So that just shows
What the hell Larkin's doing though?
Why not? What do you mean? He just got ran from behind. Why would you not do that?
You're going to sell you sucker him?
Yeah. He suckered you. He ran you from behind.
Why don't you just like get in front of him and drop the gloves then? Don't sucker him.
I would sucker him.
Jesus. A little dirty over there, bro.
No. The hit from behind's dirty.
Yeah,
it's time to start paying the piper here. Guys are going to play that way. They're gonna get treated that way. I think you need more of that. What did you think of the Rasmus Anderson, Kyler Yamamoto thing?
Where he headbutted him?
Yeah. Do you think it was a headbutt?
Well, yeah, he directed his helmet to his face.
The league said that was not a headbutt. Elliot Friedman said it wasn't a headbutt either. It was a follow through on a punch.
I don't know. It looked like a headbutt. I don't know. It was, I think Yamamoto's a rat, so.
I loved every minute, but you know that Yamamoto took a run at, he slew footed Rasmus Anderson last year and got suspended. And
yeah, I remember that.
So
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, Rasmus had a few shots coming to old Kyler Yamamoto, so it didn't bother me at all.
What'd you think of Garland's hit on Zadina?
It's not something I would have like suspended or anything. I would have kicked the living shit out of him though. If I was Detroit, I would have beat the fuck out of him. Clean hit
for a clean. Yes. It was a reverse hit with his back, and Zadina was just reaching
okay.
for the paw.
Okay. I'll give it to you. Clean hit. But now you need to retract your comment from last year. The hit on Cassian from Tkachuk, where he reversed hit him, was clean then. Because if Garland's clean, Tkachuk's is clean.
Are we talking where Cassian flew at him behind the net, or Tkachuk flew at him? Well, that was 2 years ago.
There was multiple times, but what's the difference? Garland didn't fly at him? It's the same freaking thing.
He just stopped, planted his feet, hit and reverse hit him. And Zadina out here calling him a midget and stuff, he's 2 inches taller than him.
I tell you what, next time that those two teams play, I hope Garland gets his head ripped off. Because it was dirty.
Catch him. It wasn't dirty.
Okay.
The only way
it, so
the
then Tkachuk's wasn't dirty then
somewhat
either.
Somewhat dirty is because Zadina is literally bent over, reaching for the puck,
What was the point of contact?
It was his back, though.
I don't care. What was the point of contact?
It's not like he elbowed him in the head.
So then Darius Kasparaitis slew foot, or his undercuts are totally fine because it's his back end hitting. Well, Blake, you just said it's okay as if the guy's hitting from his rear.
He didn't hip check him. He just stood him up with his back. Garland's a small guy. He can't create that much power to hit with his upper body, so he's got to use his whole body to hit him.
Were his feet off the ice?
No, they were on the ground.
Okay.
It's a perfectly fine hit.
I'm going to make a prediction.
He's getting so soft.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay, like the Canucks play the Red Wings once more.
No,
we'll see what happens.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
Garland's going to, someone, I don't know who this year, but someone's going to grab him and rip his head off.
Okay. hasn't happened in his career yet, so I don't see why that would change.
Well if he plays the
same way every game.
If he plays,
you would love to have him in Calgary. I know you would.
Not at that price tag.
4.9? You kidding me? He's going to score 30 goals.
We'll see. Has he scored this year?
Yeah, he has one goal.
Okay, well, we'll see.
He scored in the Detroit game.
All right, well, we'll see.
He's got 2 points.
Okay.
In three games.
He isn't going to score 30 this year.
I mean, he's playing on line with Horvat and Pearson and potentially up in the line with Miller and Bess or Petey, so we'll see.
We'll see. U.S. television coverage. I was pleasantly surprised because U.S. used to have an NHL app where you could get it on Apple TV or whatever device you had, and all the games are just like right there. You just click on them, and it said, do you want to watch the home or the away? And you could click on them. So it was super easy. This year they don't have that, and I was like, well, how are they going to do this? I am pleasantly surprised. ESPN Plus has the game, and then it lets you pick home or away, believe it or not. The coverage is good. It's some Canadian coverage. It's some U.S. coverage. It's good. It's easy. It's cheaper.
No, ESPN's great.
It's cheaper.
ESPN Plus is great.
So far, so good. I did not catch any games on TNT yet. I did not watch that game that night.
I watched – what game did I watch on TNT? It was Dallas and
– How was it on TNT?
It was pretty good. Yeah, I liked it. No complaints. I like the graphics. I like the ESPN graphics. I think everything is smooth so far.
Yeah.
Even the intermission, like with Biz, Gretzky, and Anson Carter, like that's, I mean, good for Biz. I mean, he wasn't the best of hockey players, but he's really made it in the media world. He's great at marketing himself. He's got a great podcast.
He's entertaining. He's entertaining.
He's definitely entertaining. He definitely knows what he's doing. He's good. He's good on TV.
That's good. Record ratings for the late game, the Seattle-Vegas game Tuesday night for ESPN. It's the most watched late night game in ESPN history for hockey. I thought that was awesome news, so that's really good. So far, so good. Toronto goalie issue. We touched on this a little bit earlier in the podcast, and this Saturday night, they had to sign Alec Bishop to suit up as a backup for Jack Campbell because we already got an injury, and Mrazek is down for, I don't even know, what is it, day-to-day or week-to-week?
Couple weeks, maybe. Okay.
They didn't have time. Well, they had time, but they couldn't call Michael Hutchinson up because of salary cap constraints, so they had this college kid in there. This just seems like poor cap management. When you don't even have enough money to call up your backups, your third string goalie, that's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. I mean, good for the kid, cool story.
Yeah, for sure.
Get a couple thousand to back up Campbell. So,
jeez, will his team ever escape this?
Living the dream. What's that?
Will his team ever escape this cap issue problem they have every single year?
I don't think you can. I mean, you're gonna have to pay Morgan Rielly next year. They're already paying $40 million to four players up front. It's tough. It's gonna be interesting for sure.
You know, along with suspensions this week, we saw unfortunately quite a few injuries. Pacioretty down 6 weeks with lower body injury. Stone's out. Kucherov.
Stone's day to day though.
Is he day to day now? Okay, well,
he's day to day. Yeah.
Mrazek, we talked about, that looks like about 2 weeks for the groin.
Kucherov's going on LTIR again, so Tampa Bay is going to go out and trade for Eichel now, so put your money on that.
Oh, Blake, no one's going to trade for Eichel because Eichel can't play this year.
We'll see.
He can't play. The earliest he could play right now is February.
Hey, a little deja vu, though. Kucherov gets surgery. He's going to go on LTIR to the playoffs.
He's really hurt this time, though.
No, it didn't look good. I'm just joking around, but
Gibson and Anaheim has a lower body injury. Oh man, Matthews is finally back, but still no Crosby or Malkin. And
can we talk about your favorite player?
Which one?
Evander Kane.
We'll skip ahead to that. Let's talk about it. As the league announced today that he's going to get a 21-game suspension for.
They should just suspend him the whole year.
You know, I can't help but think that behind closed doors, Gary Bettman looked at Bill Daly and said, you know, 21 games is about 2.5 months. Thank God we don't have to deal with this guy for 2.5 months. They've got to hate him. He's a horrible for the league.
So he got suspended for breaching COVID protocols. Mm-hmm. I think he turned in a fake vaccine card.
Yeah. That's what the word is. I don't know for a fact, but.
I don't know.
He's not eligible to play for 21 games. I didn't look up when that date is, but evidently the allegations from his estranged wife could not be substantiated. Big shocker. Unless it's on. Here's what I love. Here's what I love. Okay. A coach, whether it be NFL, NBA, whatever, does anything, says anything, crucified.
Gone.
Fucking gone. Into oblivion. A player, unless it's caught on video, you're fine. And even if it's caught on video, you're probably not only going to get 10 games. Like, there's NFL players that are
I mean, look at Bill Peters. He gets fired for something he said 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, Gruden in the NFL now. He's gone because of an email.
Okay, but that was pretty bad.
Okay.
That
I'm gonna ask you a question.
You can't call the commissioner of the league the F word.
So hey, let me ask you a question. You mean to tell me right now that there isn't one other general manager or coach in the...
Oh, sure. He got caught.
Blake, when are we going to learn?
He got caught.
So when in this society?
So he got the proper...
No, it's not the proper. What if... You think there's a commissioner that hasn't said that GM's a fuckhead? Do you think that's ever... I guarantee it's happened. Did the commissioner get fired? I guarantee it's happened. I guarantee it. But,
got caught, though.
But if we start firing everybody that has ever said anything bad in this world, there'll be no employees. And sure as hell won't be any politicians. It's ridiculous. But if a player, you know what, a player could right now say Gary Bettman's a little sawed-off piece of shit and nothing would happen to that player. Because it's a player. It's okay. Seriously, Blake, I'm dead serious. They wouldn't do a thing. They wouldn't do a thing.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. This freaking world we're living in is a joke. Speaking of jokes, college hockey had probably one of their biggest embarrassments that I've ever seen, and I've watched college hockey for a lot of years. This weekend, both teams rated in the top five in USNCAA, Minnesota at St. Cloud. Hop on to the debate Twitter page under debate hockey. You can watch the video. I just tweeted it. I'll describe it. It's in overtime. Minnesota has or St. Cloud gains control of the puck behind the net. Minnesota guy, probably the most blatant hook I've ever seen, yanks him down so bad that the Minnesota guy stopped, looked at the ref. The ref's arm did not go up. He grabbed the puck, worked it around, say the puck staying in the zone, ended up resulting in a 4-3 overtime goal. The worst call I've ever seen in college hockey, ever.
I wonder what the...
Fans pelted him with food, beverages, everything, which is deservedly so.
I would be fascinated to hear in on the commissioner's call with this referee. He's going to go, hey, John, what the fuck did you see on that play?
Okay, it was so bad. I've never seen this happen before, but the NCHC, put out a press release. Saying,
really?
Yes, I'll read it to you. They put out a press release saying, okay, I'll read it. The National Collegiate Hockey Conference has determined a minor penalty or penalties should have been issued on a sequence immediately leading up to a game-winning goal in the overtime game between the University of Minnesota and St. Cloud contest on Saturday, October 16th. NCAA ice hockey rules and interpretations do not allow for judgment calls of minor penalties to be reviewed through video replay criteria. Disciplinary action for any officials will be handled internally by the league office. The NCHC also has a policy that outlines acceptable conduct and behavior for all parties taking part in the game. The actions of some fans within the Herb Brooks National Hockey Center at the conclusion of the contest were unacceptable under any circumstances and inconsistent with our mission, vision, and shared values. Endangering student athletes, coaches, staffs, officials, and other fans by projecting objects onto the field of play will not be tolerated. The conference will conduct a review of related policies with all member institutions to avoid future incidents. Although it's not and will not become conference protocol to provide public comment on judgment calls made by game officials, this statement is being issued due to the significant impact of the game's outcome. I've never seen that before, ever.
How about this? So the Red Sox were playing the Rays in the ALCS, right?
Okay.
And there was a play where Kiermaier hits a double into the gap. Okay. Runner's on first base. He comes around third and scores.
Okay.
Okay. Touches home plate.
Okay.
The ball hit off Renfro, who is the right fielder, and bounced. So it bounced in play off the wall, off Renfro, and then out of play.
Play's dead.
They called it a ground rule double. But
you get awarded two bases.
Margot was almost around third, and Kiermaier would have been on third, no question.
Okay.
So they ended up putting the runner at third and Kiermaier at second. The run didn't score because
that's not right. That guy should get he should get one extra base to third and one extra base to home.
So he was because he was on first base. A ground rule double, you only get two bases. So he went second, third, and then Kiermaier went second.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. So how many times now are, because of that ruling, how many times are players going to kick the ball into the stands?
I don't know. But my point is, after the game, because it's something that we've never seen before, the home plate umpire had a press conference. I've never seen it before.
Well, I wish, officiating would get so much better if the officials had to have a press conference after every game.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, when have we ever seen an umpire
field
questions? The media was just, he was just clarifying to the media, like, the ruling and the rules and yada, yada, yada.
That's the league's job, man.
He was basically like a spokesperson for the league.
That's the league's job. That's not his job.
They got it right. They got the call right. But I'm like, thinking, like, what if the NHL ref makes a bad call? Hey buddy, you're on Zoom in 5 minutes.
So, Blake, what happens if a fly ball gets hit out to right field? The right fielder goes to get it. It bounces in front of him, and he kind of one-hops it. What if he grabs it and throws it into the stands?
No, okay. Like
no, what happens? What happens?
I don't know.
It's two bases, man. Like, it's still a ball out of play.
Yeah, it is definitely some gray area there for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I've never seen a league publicly admit that their officials completely blew a call. I've never seen that. I thought it was awesome.
I mean, the commissioner's thinking like,
well, I've got to.
We have to do something.
Yeah, this is so bad.
We are getting torched on Twitter right now. We got to do something.
Oh, gosh.
So bad.
Unreal. Jeez. You ready for three questions?
Let's go.
It's time for three questions.
All right, Blake, last week you fired three questions at me. It's my turn this week. And, I think I got some decent questions. Question number one. Connor McDavid, over or under 150 points this season?
Under. I'm going 130.
Okay. I'd say under two. 150 is a lot.
That's a lot of points.
A lot of points.
And you have to bank on him staying healthy for 82, so...
Yeah.
I mean, the speed that that guy goes, I mean.
Someone's going to run him.
You're one bad turn, one bad blown edge away from being hurt. And that's the thing that would scare me the most if I was betting on something like that. So, yeah, definitely. I don't think he's going to get 150, but, I mean, he's going to put up a boatload of points. I mean, you saw. I mean, what do you have, 4 points against Calgary Saturday? 3 points, hat trick.
It's key to hat trick. I don't think he had assists on the other ones, but he could have. I don't know. I don't know. He just when he winds it up, he's fast. Question number two: what do you think the current asking price for Jack Eichel is?
A first round pick, 3 prospects.
They're not getting that.
You asked me what they're asking.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Now, they've said that they will not eat salary, which is going to rule
out. Why would you? No, I wouldn't.
You're trading for a guy with a broken neck.
I don't. In order for them to not retain salary, they're going to have to get less back.
Do you know what they get? You know what I think when this is all said and done?
It's one way or the other. They retain salary and get more in return, or they don't retain salary and get less in return. They're literally the two options.
You know what I think is going to happen?
That's what the option is.
You want to know what I think is going to happen?
What?
When this is all said and done, and it won't happen this year, it'll be next offseason. This league is going to miss Jack Eichel for an extra year because of Buffalo being stupid. They're going to end up getting.
Let the guy get his surgery, dude.
Do you know what they're going to do? Do you know what they'll end up getting? Well, if they had let him get his surgery, his value would go up.
I know. I don't know what that was.
Okay, think about this. You're a GM and you're sitting at home and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to make a deal for a guy that has a broken neck that when I get him, I have to have surgery, but they want a first round pick, a roster player, a prospect, and another prospect. Like, no way. You know what they're going to end up getting? If they let him get the surgery, they'll get more. If they don't let him get the surgery, you know what they're going to get? A second rounder and a roster player. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, Buffalo, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
That's what it'll end up being.
Because I have no idea.
Think about this. The team that's taking him on, think about this risk. $10 million for 5 more years, $50 million risk, and he's got a broken neck.
It's not broken, but yeah.
Okay, he's got to have a spinal fusion surgery. A replacement. Hello? Yep. That's pretty serious. I don't know. You want to know who I think he lands and ends up with him?
Where?
Calgary.
Really? You know what the deal is going to be?
Sean Monahan.
It's going to be Sean Monahan, a first-round pick,
and Peltier.
And Dylan Dubé.
No way. They'll never do that.
Yeah.
They'll never do that. Why would you do that?
If they could do it tomorrow, that would be the deal.
No, they wouldn't give up Dubé.
You have to put some salary in there, Brad.
Monahan.
He's only 6. Where's the other 4?
He's not playing this year anyways.
If you trade for him right now, he will be playing.
LTIR.
He'll be playing in February, no?
He's got to have the surgery. And he's got rehab.
It's four month recovery, I read.
He's not even, okay.
November, December, January, February. He's back in March. March is 5 months.
Okay. So then you just trade Gaudreau at the deadline.
So you're just not a playoff team?
You're not going to be. If you're going to give away Monahan and Dubé, you're not a playoff team. And I'm not a Monahan fan anymore, but you're not a playoff team if you don't have any of those guys.
Monahan would 100% be in the deal because of his salary. Does he have a no trade?
I think he does. No, I don't know.
Let me look.
I don't know.
Sean Monahan does, so he's not going.
He's not going. Because nobody in their right mind is going to Buffalo.
Buffalo is 100% on his no-team trade.
They're on every player's no-team trade list.
So, looks like we are down to Elias Lindholm.
Nope.
Dylan Dubé.
Not enough salary. Not getting rid of him.
Hanifin.
Nope.
I'm just looking at guys with cap. So that trade probably ain't happening, Brad.
No.
Because your guys with cap?
So
Monahan, Backlund, all modified, no trade.
Let me twist this one for you, Blake. If Calgary can't make it work, and they're a team that's probably going to be on borderline to even make the playoffs, and they can't make it work, there's got to be under three teams that can make this work. That value is dropping every minute.
Let me check something here. You know where he's going?
Los Angeles. You've said it 80 times.
He's going to the Rangers. I think he's going to go to the Rangers.
They won't be able to afford him.
They have $6 million cap space right now.
Yeah, they got. What about next year?
Next year,
they gonna roster anybody next year or what?
They gotta pay Sammy Blais. That's pretty much it. Oh fuck, they gotta pay Fox next year.
Yeah,
they can't do that.
Deal done.
Be doing that.
Deal done.
No. Let's see.
You could go through, Blake. Why don't you sit up all night tonight? You can go through every team, and it doesn't work on any of them.
What about Ottawa? Fuck, make a splash?
Yeah, I mean, they probably have the
bring
biggest.
Bring in a franchise player?
I mean, they probably have the biggest.
They have $12 million cap?
Tkachuk, Stutzla, oh, sheesh. Oof. That'd be a good planning spot.
A good fit. Like, that now might be the time to pull a trigger on something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, they got the cap. Like, they could honestly get Jack Eichel without trading Tkachuk, Batherson, Stutzel. Like, I think they could get him no problem. Because, I mean, let's just look at their guys. They have Ridley Gregg, who's a Brandon boy. They got Bernard Docker, Eric Brandstrom. Like, they're loaded with youth. They could 100% make that deal.
They could. Ready for question number three?
Interesting. That was a long answer.
I know. Question number three. Who is your current favorite NHL player?
Like Canuck or in this?
No, just who's your favorite player?
Probably Nathan MacKinnon. He's just so fun to watch. The easy combo answer is McDavid, because...
Oh, that's not mine.
He's the most exciting player.
He looks like Crosby now. He whines all the time.
My favorite Canuck is Horvat. Favorite player is probably MacKinnon.
All right, man. Listener question. I got an interesting one, and I was going to like pigeonhole this for a couple weeks, but I can't. Michael Bastrom, Glendale, Arizona, tweeted me this question. He said, I listened to your prediction show last week, and I've listened to your prediction shows in years past, and each of you have some that you would like to take back. What is one of your predictions that you think right now, after 1 week of the season, that you might want to take back? I thought about it. I'm like, it's probably a question for late November, but there might be a couple that are making me wonder a little bit. Detroit looks better than what I expected them to look.
Why? Because they just torched Tampa for one game? Come on.
No, not that. I just think they played better, though. They've just played better, I feel.
Islanders are 0-2, so that's got to be it.
Yeah, I wrote that down, but they're going to be fine.
They'll figure it out.
Winnipeg's 0-2, they'll be fine.
We both picked Pittsburgh to miss the playoffs.
Yep, and they're 2-0-1, and they're looking good.
Buffalo is making the playoffs, I guess.
Oh, for sure. I saw that Columbus is 2-0, and I thought, oh,
yeah, Minnesota's 2-0.
Yeah. I don't know. Montreal's 0-3. I know you had them winning the cup, didn't you? Oh, wait, no, Price is out. Sorry. Right?
Colorado. I'm all in on Colorado this year. You know that.
I know.
I don't know. It's ask me that question again in November.
We're gonna. I'm gonna. I kept it in the file. Yeah. It's a good question though, because I can tell he listens because he knew that you picked New Jersey and I had a. I had a couple doozies too that were not ones to write home about. So we've all been there, man. We've all been there.
Yep. Sure have.
And I'm sure we'll have a few this year too. Well, week one of the NHL season is in the books, and it was a damn good hockey week, and hopefully this week's just as good, because I watched an Edmonton-Vancouver game that was really, really good, and wow, there's been some good hockey. Make sure you check out the Debate Hockey podcast on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Go to debatehockey.com for every bit of information, back episodes, everything you'll need. And make sure you rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We're back next week to talk some more hockey with you. Have a good hockey week. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.